there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, host of Science Versus, and on our show, Science Versus, we recently took on the topic of UFOs. Senior producer Rose Rimler went deep behind the congressional hearings and pilot testimonies to try to figure out what is going on here, and she told me all about it.
So I'm going to take you and the audience with me on a deep dive into one of the weirdest UFO or UAP sightings I've ever heard. It's something that came up in that hearing. These pilots talked about how they saw a thing in the sky that looked like Tic Tacs. You know, those mints that come in a little plastic box?
Yeah.
All right, so let me set the scene. There are U.S. Navy pilots flying off the coast of San Diego. It's a beautiful, sunny day, clear sky. Mm-hmm. The pilot in question, he's got another plane next to him, and he has a co-pilot in his own plane, so there are a number of witnesses. They're out there flying, and they're told by officers who are on a nearby aircraft carrier that they should go check something out that's been popping up on the radar. Mm. And they want these pilots to go see what is it. So the pilots go to that location, and when they get there, they see something weird. This happened in November 2004, but it took a while for the pilots to start talking about it openly. So here's one of them telling his story to the U.S. Congress this year.
All four of us looked down a small, saw a white tic-tac object with a longitudinal axis pointing north-south and moving very abruptly over the water like a ping-pong ball.
There were no rotors. He flew down to get a closer look, but he says when he did that, it flew up and then spiraled around him, almost like it was reacting to him.
As we pulled nose onto the object within about a half mile of it, it rapidly accelerated in front of us and disappeared. Our wingmen, roughly 8,000 feet above us, lost contact also.
Lost contact? Huh.
Yeah, it like disappeared. And then it turned out it was what appeared to be the same object was reported by some other pilots and radar operators 60 miles away. And it was also these tic-tac shapes had been reported on other days by other people. One witness on an aircraft carrier said that at one point it was raining UFOs, according to what he saw on the radar. And later that day in 2004, a different pilot went out and got a video of the tic-tac. Mm-hmm. This was taken by an infrared camera. And this video is all over the internet. It's famous.
What did you think when you saw it?
I didn't really know what I was seeing because it's like blurry. It looks like a little dot on a screen. Either the dot is moving or the camera is moving. You know, it's actually kind of unremarkable.
Right.
The footage. What's remarkable is the explanation by people who saw it, their story. That's interesting. Like, one pilot said that this thing was moving in a way that our technology never could, and he believes it came from another world. So that certainly captured my attention. And it captured the attention of a physics professor named Kevin Knuth.
The stories were pretty astounding. The descriptions of the objects as being, you know, these white butane tank sort of things that were bouncing around like a zigzagging back and forth, like they were bouncing around like ping pongs in a bottle. I'd never heard a description like that before, and I thought, these are very strange objects. This is really interesting.
Kevin has worked for NASA, and he teaches at the University of Albany in New York. He studies exoplanets, among other things. Mm-hmm. But he's recently started down this whole new path studying UAPs. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to know if these Tic Tacs were actually moving in extraordinary ways. And he figured he could find out by doing some pretty simple calculations based on the pilot testimonies and the radar data. Although one problem was he didn't actually have a copy of the radar data.
Oh, I would have loved to have actually had the radar data in hand, the original radar data. That would be great.
We don't have that.
No, we don't have that. And in fact, that day after they returned from encountering the Tic Tacs, somebody showed up on the ship and confiscated all of the data. And as far as I understand, to this day, no one knows where that data went or where it is.
Huh, that is spooky.
So yeah, there's something going on, something important going on here.
So we reached out to the Navy and the Pentagon and asked about this. They said they'd get back to us, but they never did.
Okay. So I guess what did Kevin use instead if he didn't have the actual radar data?
He pretty much decided he'd just take the reports at face value, what the pilot said it did and what the radar operator said it did on the radar. And he felt good about that because the reports seemed to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And right away he realizes there is something weird about these things in the sky. According to the radar operator, these Tic Tacs would often be really high up in the sky, but they would be moving very slowly. Which, you know, for planes and stuff, you have to move a lot faster to stay up in that thin atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And then they would suddenly just drop from like 5 miles up in the sky down to sea level in less than a second. Both these observations are really strange. I asked Kevin about them. So they were going too slow when they were cruising, but then they were going too fast when they dropped from up high down to sea level to make any sense.
Exactly. They were anomalous in several respects. So this wasn't just one strange thing. There's not just one strange thing about them. They're strange in many ways.
So then he worked out how fast it would have to accelerate in order to drop down from the sky that fast. And he found out that the Tic Tacs would have had to accelerate at more than 5,000 times the acceleration of gravity.
Whoa.
Which is, like, ridiculous. That's way faster than planes can accelerate. In fact, planes would rip apart if they flew that fast. And then imagine what it would do to the human body.
It would be pretty awful, probably really quick, too. So if I'm kind to myself, my top half of my body weighs about 100 pounds. So now if I was to accelerate at 5,700 Gs, that 100 pounds would weigh 5,700 times more. And so what would that do to the lower half of your body? It would crush it into a soup on the body. Yeah, you basically would be soup on the bottom of the floor.
I mean, could this be some kind of like spy technology?
No, it's not like, oh, you know, China's 10 years ahead of us or whatever. It's like, no, that is way beyond what anyone can do currently. And if you had a craft that could go that fast, you could get around the galaxy like, you know, like nothing. Which led Kevin to conclude that unless the pilots were totally wrong or lying, the Tic Tacs are from out of this world.
They appeared to be incredibly advanced craft, probably, certainly not of human origin. And we don't know how they operate and could very possibly be interstellar.
I ran that by another scientist we spoke to, and he said, whoa, that conclusion is daring. Do you think it's a daring conclusion?
I'm not sure what else it could be. What else is going to be accelerating at 5,000 or 10,000 Gs? That's, if you can come up with something natural that does that, that would be great, but I couldn't imagine what that could be, so.
Wow. Okay. Rose, are you here on Science Versus saying that the Tic Tacs are aliens? Are we doing this?
First, I think we need a second opinion.
Yes. We have our Mulder. We have two Mulders, if you're including you, Rose.
I'm not a Mulder. I'm Muldering.
All right. I want a Scully. Where's our Scully?
Here she is.
I'm a Scully. For sure. I love the X-Files. And I love the idea of the wonderful, the weird, and the unexplained. However, I am a scientist through and through. And if anything's going to be spectacularly unexplainable, it needs to have some pretty great evidence to go with it.
That's Sarah Webb. She's an astrophysicist at the Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Just down the road.
Sarah's specialty is red dwarf stars. So she's not a ufologist.
Ufologist or ufologist?
Or ufologist, like urologist. I don't.
So she's not one of them either way.
She's not one of them. But she does a lot of science communication. And people love to talk about UFOs and are always asking her about UFOs.
Okay.
The first time she saw the Tic Tac video was because journalists asked her to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Journalists like me. Do you think the Tic Tacs are alien spacecraft?
No. No, I'd be willing to, make a bet that they are most likely not alien spacecraft, which I know I'm a bit of a killjoy. Sorry.
Well, you did say you were a Scully, and she was steadfastly popping Mulder's bubble the whole, in season 9. She's like, I don't know, Mulder. I'm like, Scully, you've seen so much. How can you still be skeptical?
You've been abducted by aliens.
What will it take? So Sarah does not know what the Tic Tac is. She doesn't have something that she can pull out of her sleeve that's like, aha, it's a viral marketing campaign for Tic Tacs, which is my favorite explanation that I made up. Think of all the free press Tic Tacs are getting.
I know. I kind of forgot they existed.
So here's why Sarah is not convinced. And actually, this comes from Sarah and other scientists I spoke with. I'm going to lay out the skeptic side.
Okay.
Kevin used 3 lines of evidence: the eyewitness reports, the video, and what was supposedly seen on radar. Up to now, we've been acting under the assumption that these 3 pieces of evidence are describing the same event. We're acting like they are 3 lines of evidence that are like 3 strings that have been braided together into a rope. But what if we drop that assumption? Because here's the thing. They may not all be describing the same event. That we know, for example, that the video that was taken later that day by a different pilot who actually says he didn't even see the thing with his own naked eyes. It was just on his infrared camera. He actually didn't see it.
Okay.
So maybe these 3 lines of evidence should not be braided together into a rope. And when you don't have a rope, you just have 3 dangling strings, right? Mm-hmm. Which are much weaker. So now let's look at each of those things on its own and see how does each piece of evidence stand up under its own merit.
Love it. I can hear you cracking your knuckles, Rose. Okay, number 1, eyewitness testimony. Even I could give you this one. It sucks. Ask lawyers, ask the countless people wrongfully imprisoned under eyewitness testimony, and they will tell you.
Yeah, and then something to consider is that the pilots were really far away from the Tic Tac. They'd estimate things like its size, which Kevin used to do these calculations, from 20,000 feet away, which is 6,100 meters. And Sarah points out that we know humans aren't that good at judging things from a distance.
We can't do that for objects that are very, very far away. Our eyes aren't very good at doing that. So we can lean on our best estimates of, well, I know that this thing is probably this far away, or I've seen this before. But we're not, our interpretations are not precision instruments.
And this is especially hard if you don't have any points of reference to help you out. So these pilots, they were just over an open ocean. Sarah says she always gets fooled by this on the highway.
There's one exit I take here in Melbourne, and it's always like 300 meters, here's your exit. And I look at it, and I'm like, that is so close, that cannot be 300 meters. You're traveling at 110 kilometers an hour on this particular highway. And so you're traveling so fast that your brain is processing distances a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to a scientist who studies human visual perception, and I told her, the Tic Tac story, and she says that from that far away, with no reference points, while moving, it would be, quote, almost impossible to judge the size of an object, end quote. And there's a powerful example of this that I wanted to share. It's a different incident altogether. It's hot off the press, though, and it shows how, with human perception, we can be misled. So it's about one of those videos that was released by the Department of Defense that got everybody all excited. It's another supposed UAP sighting. I'm going to send you a link to the video. So I'm just going to, I'll send it to you now.
Okay. I'm opening it. Ooh. We see the ocean. We see water. Oh, okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it is weird. It's just at first it looks like a bird the way it's flying, and then it looks like a ping pong kind of just
zooming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it's going really fast, and it looks like it's just over the water, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, NASA's task force on this, they just put out an analysis of this video in their report. And they found that the object is actually 2.5 miles above the water. So 4 kilometers above the water.
Oh.
So it's not right over the ocean at all. And it's going at a speed of 40 miles an hour, 64 kilometers.
Oh. It's not fast.
Which is probably just the wind.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's probably just drifting with the wind.
So what is it?
They don't know what it is. So it could be, guess the drum roll, please, a balloon.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So that's thread number one. Human perception is fallible.
Right. Got it.
Thread number two. Speaking of videos, let's look at the video for this incident, the Tic Tac video. So not everyone agrees that the video is showing an object behaving extraordinarily. There's another researcher who did his own analysis where he just looked at the video, and he found it was moving at speeds that are within the realm of what's possible for just a regular airplane.
But wait, how could they have such different answers? They're using the same equations, right? It's because the numbers they're putting in the equations are different, obviously.
Well, they're not doing a bit of a different analysis, but when it comes to the video itself, they made different assumptions about how the object moved in relation to the camera. So Kevin assumed that the object was stationary and then zipped from the stationary point. Mm-hmm. Whereas this other scientist, Julio, he assumed that the object was moving at a constant rate and then appeared to zip away.
And assumptions like that completely change the game. Okay, so that's thread number two. Thread number three?
The radar data. You know, in this case, Kevin didn't have the actual data.
Right.
He had the radar operator told him he saw on the radar. But in general, we have other UFO incidents where there's something very strange on the radar.
Right, okay.
The thing about that is radars have false positives. Radar sometimes picks up radio waves that have bounced around in weird ways. Mm-hmm. It can pick up reflections of ships or buildings. And there's one example from 1996. On radar, there seemed to be a UFO hovering over an English town. It turned out what was happening was that radio waves were bouncing off of a church spire.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so is this Tic Tac thing just like dead in the water?
I mean, I could already hear the real UFO believers. I can hear them being like, what about this and what about that? And like, the salient points are that A, eyewitness testimony is unreliable.
Yes.
And that's mostly what we have when it comes to UFO sightings. B, given the imperfections with radar data, we don't have any good enough radar data to really suggest that there's something truly extraterrestrial happening here.
Can I just ask, what did Kevin say about all this?
Well, I went back to Kevin with all these points, and we talked over email this time, and he sent me a really thoughtful reply. And he said a lot of things, but, you know, one, he disagrees with the idea of unbraiding these three pieces of evidence. He thinks that's unfair. He points out that the pilots who saw the Tic Tac and the pilot who took a video of the Tic Tac were both sent to where it was by a radar operator who saw something weird on the radar. So he thinks that means they are clearly connected.
Yeah, okay, okay. Point taken.
And he also said that, you know, just because radar sometimes makes mistakes doesn't mean that the radar, in this case, was making any mistakes.
Sure.
And then regarding the pilots being able to judge things from a distance, and we specifically talked a lot about judging the size of an object from a distance, he did some math and he said that even if they were off by an order of magnitude, the Tic Tac would still be moving incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, he wrote, and I'll quote this, "I understand the skepticism, but beware of people eager to dismiss data because it does not agree with their expectations."
Touche, Kevin, touche. So, Rose, how are you feeling about all this?
I'm not convinced yet, but I'm very aware of my bias now. I wasn't as aware. I was like, well, I'm just following what the evidence is. But Kevin's right. Like, being that skeptical is a form of a bias. And we all have biases about everything. And so I can't change that. I can just say, like, I'm biased in the direction of being very skeptical. So my bar for evidence for UFOs and aliens is going to be really high.
Yeah, no, I do. I absolutely take that point. I do think it's not an exact apples to apples comparison, you're biased and you're biased too, because I think it just comes back to that maxim of extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And if I told you, hey, Rose, yesterday I saw an ant, you'd be like, great, good story. I don't even need a photo of that. I believe you. But if I said, I saw an alien creature, you would say, give me some evidence and it better be strong. And so I do think different claims require different evidence. And I suppose what we've kind of canvassed here, I think the claim is so extraordinary that I don't think the evidence is there for it.
Yeah.
So Rose, where do we go from here?
I asked Sarah about that. So if these items or whatever, these reports are not truly aliens, does that dash our hopes and dreams that there is alien life out there somewhere?
No, I don't think so. I think we can separate those two things. And I'd be very happy to say that out there somewhere, there's probably life. And they're probably wondering about us. They're probably wondering if there's life out there beyond them.
On their podcasts?
Yeah, on their podcast, exactly.
We don't want to get too discouraged. In fact, scientists are telling me that we are closer to finding aliens than we have ever been before.
To hear more about that, you've got to head over to our full episode on UFOs. It's on our main feed. What you're listening to now, it's just a little bite-sized version of that episode. So to hear all about UFOs and the hunt for alien life, head over to Science Versus, that's Science VS, and click on our episode, UFOs, So Are They Real or What? It's a great episode. You're going to want to check it out.